Connect to Matt Flynn direct on Devil Radio. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. Going to Georgia, a very favorable development. I am modifying my opinion of Merrick Garland as slightly more favorable. Remember, I ripped into him last week for doing nothing. Merrick Garland announced since our last show that he is bringing suit in Georgia over their election changes, the repressive election changes that are designed to suppress the vote, especially in urban communities, especially Atlanta, which has a major impact on the African-American community. Now, there are a couple of things about what they did in Georgia. It's about time he did this. He better do it in Arizona, Texas, and the other states that have done the same thing. Texas is very similar to Georgia, so it's hard to see how he would do Georgia and not Texas. But he put out a good statement. He said that this represses the vote. It has a special impact on poor, disadvantaged, minority people, and in general, in urban areas. We got to set it aside. Now, some things to me seem like a no-brainer. All right, which one's a no-brainer? Well, the one that says you can't give water to somebody who's standing in line in the hot sun for a long time because you've ginned up the polls so that there are long, long lines. What happens if you have a pregnant woman? She's faint. She sits down on the ground. She needs water. You give her water, it's felony in Georgia. Felony in Georgia. Well, I don't think so. Now, the truth of the matter is they'll say, well, if it's something like that, we wouldn't prosecute it. Well, when there is the possibility of prosecution, the threat of prosecution, that deters people from doing things they should have every right to do and not think twice about it. So Garland's going to go in and he's going to want that set aside. But, you know, there are a lot of other things. There are a lot of other things. Restriction on absentee voting. Restrictions on drop boxes. And the most insidious of all is taking the ability to count the vote, the fair count of the vote, away from the elected Secretary of State and the election commissions in each county and give it to the corrupt, gerrymandered, illegitimate Republican legislature down there. What do you think would happen in this state if Voss got to count the votes? What do you think would happen if the three justices who voted to overturn, they did, the November 3rd election in Wisconsin, got to count the votes? Remember something, I'll say it again, it's an important thing to say. Stalin, who murdered 20 million people in his gulags, went through and he murdered 20 million people. He once said, it doesn't matter who the people vote for. What matters is who counts the votes. The counting, the crookedness can be in the counting. In Georgia, the crookedness in this election law is several fold. One is right up front, fewer drop boxes. You know, the thing they did in Texas, for instance, Houston, Harris County, millions of people say they have one drop box. And then some, you know, little Elkhorn County up near Amarillo, if there is one, I don't know if there is one, with, you know, 500 people, one drop box. That's one sneaky way to do it. Another sneaky way to do it is to make sure that there aren't very many voting machines in urban areas. So the lines, there were lines in Texas and elsewhere that went 8 hours. That's a work day. That's a work day. Working person can't take out 8 hours to stand in line and go to vote. They're going to leave the line. A single mom with kids at home can't do that. And if she's restricted from doing absentee voting, what's she going to do? This is an attack on the ability to vote, which is constitutionally protected. And normally, state authorities are given a lot of leeway in how they construct the vote, but they assume that it's going to be in good faith. They assume that it's going to be on the up and up. In the South, prior to the Civil Rights Act and prior to the constitutional amendment that got rid of the poll tax, if you were an African-American individual in, say, Mississippi or Alabama, you go in to vote, you had to pay money to vote. And a lot of people said, well, you know, I don't have enough money to do that. Then they would give you a test. They would say, All right, recite the Bill of Rights, the first 10 amendments of the Constitution. Well, I can tell you what each amendment generally is its meaning, why it was put in, and generally what it says. I can't give it to you verbatim right now over the phone without reading it. I suspect very few people can give it verbatim and get every word correct. And even if somebody did that, memorized it, and who's going to do that to go vote, they would say, you left out of the in the Seventh Amendment, get out of here. It's the kind of stuff they did. It's the kind of stuff they did. That got put an end to in various litigations and a constitutional amendment on the poll tax in the 1960s. But this harkens back to that. And it's much sneakier. First of all, you have gerrymandering, SB 1 and HR 1, that right now Manchin and Sinema won't suspend the filibuster for to push through, and they better do that, gets rid of gerrymandering. That's one of the single most important things you could do. The other one is make sure that honest people are counting the votes. Over and above drop boxes, absentee ballots, long lines, the whole bit, what is also the most important, along with no gerrymandering, is who counts the votes. Does Stalin count the votes? You know, does Voss count the votes? Does Trump count the votes? Or does an elected representative count the votes, Secretary of State, or dispassionate election commissions in each county? All of this will be tested in the Georgia litigation. And I'm certain it'll be tested in Texas litigation because they've done the same thing. And in the Arizona litigation. Remember, Arizona, and this is probably the base issue of all, had legislation in that said that the presidential election is a beauty contest. Doesn't matter who wins. Legislature picks the electors. Because there's a provision in the Constitution that says the states shall determine how their electors are selected. And back when George Washington was, you know, he was a consensus guy, they all said he's the guy. There was no presidential election back in 1788. But, you know, this is 2021. And there's a couple of centuries of constitutional law and a couple of centuries of pattern and practice. And we have better have a Supreme Court that says, no, as long as we're going to have the Electoral College, which itself is something that should be revisited, but as long as we have that, there have to be standards and fair standards of how those electors are selected according to a presidential primary. All of this is swirling in the air right now. And this lawsuit that Garland has brought in Georgia hits a lot of it, but not a couple of the most important things, like gerrymandering. It does hit who counts the votes. That should be part of it. You know, I have not read the complaint, but that complaint obviously is going to hit all of these impediments to absentee voting and drop boxes and all that. I'm certain it should include a claim that says that a corrupt, gerrymandered, illegitimate Republican legislature doesn't take the ability to count the votes away from the election commissions. It's got to say that. Because as long as you have Voss and people have made up their minds that the Republican has to win, and if Republican doesn't win, there must have been fraud presumptively. You don't have an election. You have Stalin. You have Stalin. That's what you have. You do not have an election. So Garland finally got off the dime. I'm glad to see it. In my view, the jury is still out. I want to see him get a lot more aggressive, put a lot of oomph into this thing. But I'm very pleased that he started this way. We're going to a break. The lines are still open. 844-967-2789. A lot more back after the break.